feel the casing start to give way. I'll be out soon. I am frantic to free myself. The only thing I want right now is to show Cetricus Raw what it feels like to have a real fight on his hands.
Just when I was giving up hope that I would ever be able to help Eight, my legacy returns.
I put my hands on the wound in the center of his chest and feel it start to work.
With every second that passes, his heart beats stronger and stronger. I've never felt anything so good in my life. That steady bump, bump, bump. If I weren't in the middle of the fight of our lives for our future, I think I would start crying right now. But I stay strong and keep my emotions in check. I look down and see Eight's eyes flutter open, then look up at me. You need to know. Six tried to, he starts to say. I cut him off. That wasn't Six. It was Cetricus Raw. I don't know how, but it was him. But the confusion in Eight's eyes makes my heart break. Eight, I can't explain everything right now. How do you feel? Can you stand? We have to get in there, join the others, and fight. Are you ready? I need to heal John, and I need you to run interference. Got it? He nods,
and I start to get up.
But there's just one thing I need to do before it's too late. I look into his eyes. His beautiful brown eyes. Take a deep breath and kiss him. He looks shocked as I pull back. I shrug at him and smile. Hey, there's no time like the present, right? Before he can say or do anything, I turn to find John. I need to heal him, fast. He took 3 cannon blasts protecting me. If I don't get to him now, he'll die. There's a trail of blood where John dragged himself across the floor, and Eight and I follow it. A heavy cloud of smoke is hanging in the air from all the cannon blasts. When we get to John, he's on his knees, shooting balls of fire from his hands at a massive gang of Moogs trying to get to Ella and Sarah. As we move towards him, the Moogs fire at us. But now that I'm able to use my telekinesis, I can deflect their shots, and Eight begins fighting back, too. I run to John's side and begin to heal his wounds. He's breathing heavily and is very pale. He's lost so much blood. John! You need to stop for a minute so I can heal you! I have to shout to be heard over the chaos and commotion. I grab his chin and force him to look at me. He shakes his head, trying to release my grip. If I stop, the Moogs will kill Sarah and Ella. If you don't stop, you'll die! Eight is healed now. He can do defense while I work on you. Please, John, we need you! I feel him stop struggling. I look more closely at the wounds on his legs. They're similar. Both legs are bleeding steadily from gaping holes. I work on the right one first, and can immediately tell Four's thigh bone is also broken. He can't help but scream while it kneads itself, but the sound is absorbed by everything else going on. His hands ball into fists as I continue. The second leg isn't as bad, and I'm able to heal it more quickly. John is already breathing easier. I reach for his arm and yell into his ear. You are looking a whole lot better! I place my hand on the wound on John's upper arm and can feel the muscles, the bicep and tricep, have been shredded. It's going to take a minute or two for them to heal. Eight is still firing away at the constant stream of Moogs, but they are coming almost faster than he can keep up with. I feel John's muscles finally knit together, and he's healed. He looks at me, and I nod. He leaps to his feet and races over to help Eight protect Ella and Sarah, who are still down.
I feel strong. Good. Sarah and Ella did something miraculous that got us our legacies back, made it possible for us to fight. But now they're both hurt. I will turn every last one of these Moogs into ash for hurting my friends. I rush towards them, whipping balls of fire from my hands at the Moogs. I know it should never feel good to kill a living creature, but right now it feels great. Now that I'm up, 8 is teleporting all over the room, appearing in front of Moogs and slicing them to pieces with a sword. 9 is still fighting Cetricus Ra, but the two of them are moving so fast they're just a blur. I need to get in there and fight, but I also need to stay here and help Sarah and Ella. Suddenly, one of the Moogs advancing on me turns in a different direction. He's not aiming his cannon at me. It's pointed directly at Sarah and Ella, who are still lying motionless. He fires, and their bodies start to convulse, and I begin to scream.
I watch in horror as Ella's and Sarah's prone bodies are hit with Moog cannon fire. John reaches them, and I rush to his side. He's kneeling next to them and holding their hands as their bodies shake. We're too late. After all this, after we made it this far and we all found each other at last, it looks like we're about to lose another member of the guard. And Sarah. John just found her again, and he's going to lose her. I close my eyes as well, bracing myself for another scar to burn itself into my leg. A scar for Ella. I know this one is going to hurt the most. But nothing happens. Is there something different about Ella that her death won't cause a scar? That can't be. I open my eyes and look at John, who's still hunched over Sarah and Ella, still intently squeezing their hands. I look closer at the girls and can't quite believe what I'm seeing. Their wounds. Cannon blasts to their bodies and hideous burns on their faces are healing. What's happening? How are you doing this? I ask John, looking at him in wonder.
I have no idea, he says, shaking his head. I didn't know I could do this. I saw Sarah on the ground and I wasn't going to let her die, or Ella. Not another one of the guard. I won't let that happen, especially now that we're together. I took their hands and thought about how much I wanted their injuries to heal, how much I wished I could heal them, and it suddenly just started to happen. You've developed a new legacy, I cry, squeezing his shoulders. Or I just wanted it so badly, a miracle happened. Whatever it is, they're both healing. He lets out a laugh, filled with exhaustion and relief. John looks to the center of the room, where 9 continues to fight. Marina, this is not the time we're going to bring Cetricus Ra down. Even though our legacies have come back, I don't think we can defeat him just yet. And I don't want to take the chance of losing another guard member. We have to find 6. Then we need to figure out a way to get the hell out of here, regroup, and come up with a plan. We'll kill him together or die together, but we do it on our terms, when we know we're ready to do it. We hear a moan and look down at Sarah and Ella. Their eyes are open and color is coming back into their cheeks. John leans over and kisses Sarah.
The casing is finally breaking off. I flex my arms and kick my legs and start to fall as the last of it crumbles. I use my telekinesis to lower myself to the ground. I lie there for a second, trying to catch my breath. The smoke is so thick my eyes are watering. All of a sudden, a huge explosion rocks the room. An alarm goes off, red lights flash, and a piercingly loud siren fills the air. I can see John's lumen burning, and I make my way through the haze towards it. Ella, Marina, and Sarah are standing next to him. And as I get closer, 8 appears, teleporting to Marina's side. Bernie Kosar has turned back into a beagle, and he limps over to John. Ella cries out when she sees me and throws her arms around me. I return her hug, and then look at John. Seeing his face again is like a dream come true. He touches my arm. You okay? I nod. What about you? I ask, and I know I sound as exhausted and beaten down as I feel. We're all alive so far. But where's 9? He replies, looking around as we all realize simultaneously that the battle sounds have disappeared. We run towards the center of the room, towards the area where Nine had been battling Cetricus Ra, keeping him at bay. Nine is lying on the ground, motionless, and Cetricus Ra is nowhere in sight. Marina falls to her knees next to him and frantically starts running her hands over his body, while I spin in circles, trying desperately to see through the haze to make sure Cetricus Ra isn't hiding, waiting to capture and kill us when our backs are turned. Aside from the shrill sound of the alarms, the room is eerily quiet, and I realize there are no Mogadorians anywhere. "He's alive!" Marina cries. "He's just stunned!" Nine sits up, shaking his head groggily. "What happened?" he asks. "I was going to ask you that," Eight says. "There was an explosion, and everyone but the seven of us have disappeared." "I don't know. I didn't see where he went. One second I was trying to hold my own, fighting him off. The next thing I knew I was here on the ground." "What do we do now?" Sarah asks. "We have to get out of here," says John. "Cetricus Ra could reappear at any second, and this could be a trap. Even though this is a government base, it clearly isn't safe." "Anyone know a way out of here?" I ask. They all look at each other grimly. "We have to go back the way we came in," says Eight. "My teleporting legacy won't work with so many of us." "Okay," John says. "We don't know what we'll face on the way out, and we may have to fight our way through more Mogadorians or human soldiers, but we need to stay together now. We're never splitting up again." Nine steps over and stands next to me, then looks me up and down. "I don't believe anyone introduced us, proper-like." "It's nice to officially meet you, sweetheart." "I'm Nine," he says, winking at me. I roll my eyes, and John snickers. I look around for a second. It's a miracle we're all together, all still alive. Every living Lorik on Earth but one is standing within a few feet of one another. We're alive, and we're fighting, and that means we still have a chance. And we will meet Cetricus Ra again, and soon. Next time, he will not get away from us.
Recently we discovered 7 radio transmissions from Lorien's ruling elder, Pittacus Lor. We cannot be certain of the intent behind these recordings, but the content suggests a desire to share amongst the people of Earth the secrets of the Lorians and the Guardians. Though we tried, we were unable to determine the origin or age of these transmissions. We can only share with you what we found, starting with this explanation of Marina's healing abilities.
"Number 7, whom you know as Marina, has a rare legacy, the ability to heal with just her touch. As you may have already guessed, the healing stones that the Lorik have been using on Earth were attempt to duplicate this legacy. Like the guards' legacies, our stones and crystals draw their power from Lorien, and so they can sometimes use to imitate legacies. While the stone that Six possesses in her chest allows her to heal others, it is merely a tool that primitively carries the rare power that Number 7 can so effortlessly wield. The stones are objects unable to adjust or to better connect to the power of Lorien, like Number 7 has been able to do over time. As she has matured and practiced her legacy, it has become stronger, like a muscle. And while the stones can only heal injuries that were given with the intent to harm or kill, Number 7 can heal any injury that was done to someone who did not deserve it, as you saw when she cured Carlotta Ricardo in Spain in the Power of 6. With more training, there's no telling what the extent of Number 7's legacy will be."
Pittacus Lor offers a rare peek into what he thinks about Number 9.
"Spending a year at the mercy of the Mogadorians is of torture only few can withstand. I will not be surprised if Nine needs some time to adjust to being back out into the world, to fully realize he is able to join in the war against the Mogadorians again, although he does seem to have adjusted to the chaos of the battle rather quickly. Generally, we Lorik do not enjoy fighting. On Marian life was peaceful. From Zeban to Guard to Chimera, we all lived and worked in harmonious coexistence, each contributing to the survival of our planet and our ancient culture. But that was before the Mogadorians invaded. That was before the Mogadorians burned our planet to ash, sent its heart into hibernation, and sent the last of its people to Earth to wait. To wait until it was time to rise again. Nine has become reckless. He may have to rein in his thirst for Mogadorian blood and learn to slow down and work together with the remaining guard. During his imprisonment, he learned a great deal about the Mogadorians, their technology, their leadership. He must remember to use this knowledge in the battles ahead. Yet I cannot blame Nine for wanting revenge. So do we all. If his desire for vengeance fuels his strength and helps him fight the Mogadorians once more, then so much the better. If we are to keep the Mogadorians from destroying the last of our people, if we are to keep them from obliterating Earth as they tried to do to Lorien, we must make use of anything that gives us strength.
One such thing that Pittacus seems to believe grants the Lorians strength in the coming war are allies such as Sam and his father.
When we sent the 10 Lorien children to Earth, we hoped they would find allies among its people, allies who would understand that their planet was in as much danger from the Mogadorians as our own. We found one of those allies in Sam's father, Malcolm Good. Like Sam, Malcolm always believed there was life beyond Earth. He believed that one day it might have come to Earth, and of course he was right. After the deaths of numbers 1, 2, and 3, Henry was more concerned than ever for his guard's safety. He knew he needed help, and he knew that Malcolm Good, an ally of the Lorik, lived in Paradise, Ohio. When he made Paradise their next destination, he had no way of knowing when exactly John would develop his legacies, or what they would be, or how powerful he might become. Henry and John had become very good at hiding over the years, but hiding is not always enough. Henry was wise enough to see that and to seek out any and all resources that might aid them in the fight against the Mogadorians. It is unfortunate they could not find Malcolm. Though he lost Henry, John found a new ally in Sam, who has proven himself to be brave and true. Though he's frail and human, Sam has done a great job helping John and Six so far. I do not know if helping them will find his father. I do not know what Sam's future holds. I only know what he has done so far, which is help keep the Lorien alive on Earth. Perhaps it was risky for Henry to return to Paradise. Perhaps it was risky for Sam to accompany Four and Six on their quest. However, the young Lorien Nine are now developing the full strength of their powers, and it is time for risks to be taken. Now is the time the war has truly begun.
Pittacus Lore delves into the mystery of the 10th Lorien child, and how she was paired with her Sepan.
It is true that Kuraten is not officially a Sepan, since Ella was only a baby when she left Lorien. She was never assigned one. This does not mean that Kuraten was not chosen to be paired with Ella. Those who care for the guard are always chosen, one way or another. The Mogadorians attacked our planet during a time of celebration when both our moons hung on opposite sides of the horizon, when the people of Lorien weren't on guard. The Lorik's priority was to save the children who were destined to grow one day, to surpass even the elders. 10 children who would save our world and could save yours. 9 of them were quickly found and rushed to the airfield with their Sabans, and they left on the last working ship in Lorien. The 10th child, who you know as Ella, was just a baby with no Sepan and no one to watch over her. She would have died on Lorien, with the rest had it not been for Kuraten. He knew of a ship that had been kept in one of our museums, and he believed it could still work. A primitive vessel from a time before we learned to harness the power of crystals. But he was correct. The ship did fly. When you see coincidence, I see the perfect Lorien chosen for the guard with no Sepan.
While we have already discovered that Number 4 has developed the legacy of the Lumen, Pittacus shares insight into this power and its connection to Lorien.
As you've seen, Number